For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Well, it is I, the lyrical miracle, the sexual intellectual, the cunning linguist, and the quintessential Sudmuffin. Joel, my schlong is like a baby's arm, like a baby up in your mama's womb, and she loves it when we're listening to In the Room. Gertner, keep listening and have yourself an eargasm.
Welcome, everyone, to In the Room. I'm Papa Stro here, filling in for Brady Hicks. Brady couldn't be with us tonight, but he'll be back next week. So don't fret. The Brady Meister will be back next week for sure for everyone. But in the meantime, the show must go on, as Brady says. And I'm honored to fill in the spot, if you will, tonight for In the Room with you guys. Lots to talk about tonight. Oh, so much going on. So let's bring in my friends. first off, the lovely Kathy Fitzpatrick. Welcome once again to In the Room. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing tonight, Stro?
Oh, much better. Much better. Oh, my goodness. Well, the weekend... was well, but just reflecting on all the memories of you know, people that lost, that, you know, fought for the country and everything, and especially some that hit home, you know what I mean, that you actually know, like family and friends, and so, but, you know, forever grateful. Forever grateful.
Amen. Got that right.
Absolutely. So just blessed. Blessed to be here. Absolutely. And speaking of blessings, we have Ray Bogus with us. Ray, welcome back, man. How you doing?
How late did Brady let you know he wasn't going to be on this show? Because he let me know like an hour beforehand. Hey, I'm not going to be there, so I'm not going to be there. All right. Well, thanks, Brady. Thanks for that. Doing great, Brady. Doing fantastic.
Ben, probably Kathy? As much notice as he gave me, so I'm with you. Yeah, I hope everything's all right, Brady. Hope everything's cool and, you know, things happen on the whim, as they say in life.
No, they are. I asked him. Everything's fine.
Oh, that's good.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, happy to hear that. Oh, goodness.
Everything's fine.
Lots of things happening. Oh, my gosh. It's nuts. The Battle of the Cons in both promotions. it's crazy.
Do you think we can work Shaka Khan into this?
I wouldn't be surprised if she does show up, actually. All these cons popping out of the woodwork here. I mean, goodness gracious. I'm expecting the Wrath of Khan to return. Star Trek.
Well, that'll be the new pay-per-view. It'll be a crossover, Khan v. Khan.
Then the cage match with the cons from both companies going at it. Tremendous.
I suppose that
and the winner. The winner gets New Japan, right? Evidently, right?
Ooh. the winner gets New Japan. The loser actually has to take sole ownership of TNA and try to rebuild it into its own promotion again.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
that's mean spirited. We shouldn't do that.
And bless Impact, right? Bless Impact. Oh man.
Oh, bless
just,
their
just
little zombie husk.
Like, yes, just when they think they're down and out, they're still here. Go figure.
Well, I don't know, man. This is almost like a Terry Schiavo thing, where like they're here, but they're clearly not. And,
yeah.
Like, I mostly say that because, I mean, this actually even goes back to before when you were here. Derek and I had the TNA death we had the TNA death clock. And every week we'd tell Brady that it's going to hit midnight, it's going to hit it. And for months, that bastard proved us wrong. And so it's mostly that because I want to take credit for being right and Brady being wrong, that I insist TNA is dead. That's really my only dog in this at this point.
For the rise and fall of TNA Impact, but they're still going. So
it's the fall and subsequent further fall.
Oh my goodness! So did you see Andrade suplex Ric Flair in a pool?
I sure did.
Oh, my God. It, like, video is, like, going viral now. Oh,
I can't decide if that's elder abuse or not. I mean, he's signing up for it, so I guess whatever.
I know when he did it, Rick like, he got out of the water. He just popped. He's like, yeah, you know, he was, like, into it.
That's good. Good for him.
Kathy, you see that? You see Rick Flair getting suplexed? Oh, jeez.
Good for him. I bet he's enjoying his retirement.
Right? Yeah. I guess Andrade's doing okay, evidently. Suplexing pop.
Well, you know, you gotta do something to kill the time.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's nuts. Yeah, Mark Henry with AEW. You see that?
You know, I did. I did see that. That was going to be one of the things I brought up. I brought up as a topic tonight. I guess I don't know. Like, if there's nobody, okay, help me out here. If they don't really have anyone else at the company, that move makes a lot of sense, right?
Right.
How many very good, wrestlers and very good coaches do they already have working just kind of around?
Gosh, oh man, there's quite a few now.
You would think, right? You would think, like, I get it, like, not everybody is necessarily cut out for that, but, like, what was a part of Mark Henry's title? Talent development? Like, what you...
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
You have a... Your roster includes Arn Anderson, Jake Roberts, The Big Show, and Chris Jericho. What, none of them's developing any talent?
You know, I thought he'd make a great manager for Powerhouse Hobbs.
That would be a good move.
Yeah, he could help him out a lot.
At least that's a move where like, it makes sense.
That's what I wouldn't know. Yeah.
No, but like that move actually makes sense. And like you can sit like when you're talking about bloated rosters and bloated salaries, like. At least you can look at it and say, okay, well, that specific person makes sense in that specific role. But, like,
yeah.
if he's just going to be a backstage and development guy, what, they don't have anybody else on that roster that can do that?
You wouldn't think. I was going to ask you guys.
You would.
What did you guys think of Double or Nothing? Did Kathy, you and Ray get a chance to check it out?
Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to.
Okay.
So
I saw
I watched
pieces.
It.
I didn't really see the whole thing, but go ahead.
So I got a chance to watch it in the wee hours of the morning.
Okay.
It is worth watching. And I pulled up a breakdown of the pay-per-view itself. And I want to see if I can. I want to see if I because it lists the percentage here.
Oh, here we go. Okay, can't wait for this.
Okay, match time. Okay, actual match time on the show.
Yeah.
70%. 70% of that show was actually guys having matches. And that I think that's a very good development.
Yes.
That's a
Thanks
very good
up.
Development.
Right.
And there's even like a comparison here where over the last 8 years, WWE's average match time on pay-per-views is 54%. AEW's all-time average is 62%. So, like, it's going up. That's going the right direction, and it's going the right direction if they really want to distinguish themselves.
Right. Congratulations, by the way, to Dr. Britt Baker winning the women's AEW Women's Championship from Sheeta.
Yes, very nicely done. Very, very nicely done. My second favorite wrestling doctor.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Who was your first?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, what's your first?
Well, my first, Dr. Stevie, because that meant I was going to get a Daphne appearance soon, and that's really what I was interested in.
No, really?
Yes.
we can talk more about that and. A bunch of stuff tonight. Got lots to talk about tonight. And the lines are open, listeners. If you want to call in, hopefully we'll get some wrestling fans to call in. So tonight,
yeah, we don't get a lot of those. We do get other drift callers. They drift in. Jellyfish callers, I call them, because they just sort of they're bycatch really. They're just we go trawling for. We go trawling for wrestling callers, and we get our not quite interesting group of callers. But if you want to call in, 914-338-1885, if you want to call in and talk.
Took the words right out of my mouth. There you go.
Yeah. Just
that's the number to call, everybody. Okay. Oh, we got all right, here we go. Let's go with our first caller. Now, some of these numbers I know, some of them I don't, so bear with me here. 479 area code, welcome to In the Room.
Well, hello, Stro. It's Granny.
Granny! How you doing, Granny? Good to have you back. How you been?
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Ray.
Hey,
Granny. What's new exciting, Kathy?
It's been a while since I've been able to call in to Brady's show, so I thought I'd call in tonight and say hi.
Granny, sorry, Kathy. Great to have you. Hey, did you watch Double or Nothing?
No, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch it, but I heard it was pretty good. I mean, you know, I didn't get to see it, but.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you had a chance to check it out. Yeah, Kathy and Ray and I were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, I was listening to y'all talk. So, yeah, you know, I like when you said hopefully you get some wrestling fans to call in tonight, and I'm one of the biggest wrestling fans there is.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
But you know that. I mean.
Yes.
I have to share a story of something that I did, not this past Sunday, but a week ago Sunday at a local wrestling show that I attended. And I know not to do this because, I mean, I do behave myself at the wrestling shows, even though, you know, I holler at the bad guys
a
lot.
No,
but,
not you, Granny.
Well, okay, let me kind of set the scenario here. Okay. There's this guy that comes up from Texas by the name of Will Alday. And last month, he was supposed to we had a special show that we did. It was House Rules, and the fans got to vote on what kind of matches that they were supposed to have. And
which matches did you vote on, Granny? I'm curious. I'm curious.
Okay. Well, the match that was supposed to have been against him and Magnificent Malico was supposed to have been whether or not Will deserved a title shot. Well, I chose no, he didn't deserve a title shot because he should have had to earn it just like anybody else would have to earn it. Well, we had a special meeting that day at our Moose Lodge because it was installation of officers, and I was an installing officer, so I had to dress up, you know, kind of nice that day. And I had a really pretty skirt on and a purple blouse that matched my skirt, and I didn't have time to go home and change into my Granny Holster shirt, you know. Well, lo and behold, I didn't even think about the purple. And because Will, he has different color wrestling pants that he wears and things like that. Well, he just happened to have his purple on that day with his purple jacket. So we're waiting, you know, to go inside the building. And he's like, Granny, my queen, you wore purple. And then he comes out for his match, and he says, we're twins. We're the power purple couple. And I said, shut up.
Thank you, partner. Yeah, he gave you the hot tag.
No,
right.
Well, okay. No, I don't even like Will Alday. Okay, so anyway, Malika was supposed to have been there, and they showed a video. And I said, Will Alday, you should have been fired. He says, Granny, you know, you're right. I've seen the error in my ways. I should have been fired because I missed those two shows, yada, yada, yada. Well, anyways, the storyline was Malika was talking about Will Alday in this video when all of a sudden somebody comes squealing down the street in their car and hits Malika with their car and drives off.
Oh, God.
Well, they give the championship belt to Will Alday, which I thought was totally not right at all. So this past show, like a week ago.
Wait a minute. Did they find out who hit him in the car?
No. We have not found out. But I know Will Alday has had something to do with it. If he didn't do it, he paid somebody to do it for him.
Oh,
so
my.
So anyways, they did the battle royal.
That's heat there.
And then they had a debate between me and another WCWA fan of who the true champion should be. And, of course, Daniel likes Will Alday. I do not like Will Alday. So we did the debate thing, and that turned out really cool and everything. So then we have the contract signing. Well, here comes Will running his mouth, you know, like he always does, and, you know, making it long and making it boring. He says, cut my music. I want everybody to hear what I've got to say to Granny. And, of course, he was telling the fans that I was his late-night snack and all of this stuff. I said, well, Alday, this is a family show. You don't need to be talking that way. Well, so here comes Malico. He's walking out on, you know, crutches, and, you know, he's all bandaged up. Will Alday says, Malico, if you sign this contract, there's going to be consequences to pay, yada, 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 you know, and everything. And Malico says, Granny, I think we got us a challenge. Well, then all of a sudden, the Will Alday and this tag team came that was out there with Will Alday. The three of them started beating up on Malico. And they were taking his crutches and hitting the crutches on his back, you know, and everything. And Malico's laying there and, Granny, I need you, I need you. Well, now, like I said, I normally, I have to tell you what I ended up doing. I said, somebody help me get me in this ring. And they didn't have the steps out there because of the Battle Royal. Well, Pineapple Jack's girlfriend, she kind of like helped me get in the ring. And I'm standing in the middle of the ring with that one of those crutches in my hand, and Malico's grabbing my leg in the middle of the ring. And I know I shouldn't have done that. I wasn't supposed to do that, but it just made me so mad. And I'm standing there in the middle of the ring with this crutch in my hand, Strove, saying, "Will Alday, you're nothing but a piece of crap." So they get me out of the ring.
This should be a pay-per-view.
And I didn't get in trouble. I did not get in trouble. I even apologized to the promoter, but the referee was talking to the head trainer, and he told the head trainer what happened. And he says, well, he says, if that works, he says, I like it. And he says, I got to admit, Granny's brave for doing it. Of course, the head trainer knows me very well from another wrestling company he used to wrestle for a long time ago. So the head trainer for WCWA, he knows me very well anyways.
So I'm thinking,
I'm coming up with an idea that when I see the promoter again, I'm going to say, just put me on staff. I'll sit in the crowd like I normally do, and I'll holler at the bad guys like I normally do. And if I happen to have to get in the ring again, that way I won't get in trouble. Nobody else will get in trouble. I mean, I didn't get in trouble, but, you know, I knew not to do it, Stro. But the thing was, Will's promo Will's promo was so long that it was boring the crowd, and I had to do something spontaneous to get the crowd back. Well, when I got in the ring, I thought the roof was going to come up. I mean, those fans started chanting, Granny, Granny. I mean, you know, they were all on my side. They loved it. So, I mean,
well,
it wasn't a bad
that,
thing
guys.
That I did.
This is a heck of a story, I'm telling you.
I normally don't do that, Stro. I mean, because like I said, I know what I can do and what I can't do and what I'm supposed to do. But it just made – I don't know what possessed me to go ahead and get in the ring like I did, because I normally do not do that. But I did it.
Hmm. Hey, we get a wall hair every now and then.
You know.
It happens.
I mean, you know, but...
So what do you think, Ray and Kathy? That's a heck of a story, right?
Yes. Like Ray said, sometimes you just got to let go.
Yes.
Well, I definitely did.
Oh, my.
But my one podcast that I help with on Monday nights, that I do on Monday nights... He was telling me last night that WCWA, they ought to make me Malico's manager for a while and let me come out with Malico to the ring for a while. You know,
make me his manager for a while. Goodness gracious. Whew. That's a heck of a story.
See, right now in Arkansas, you don't have to have a license to wrestle anymore. Like
oh,
you do
boy.
In some states.
Katie barred a door.
So, you know.
Oh,
but
God,
I mean,
man.
You know, I had to help my friend Malico. You know, I had to help Malico, and he called for me. He called for me to come help him. So, and Malico's as unpredictable as they come sometimes, anyways. But you know, so. But the promoter, he kind of got mad at the referee. He said, "You shouldn't have let that happen. You know, fans aren't supposed to be in the ring. You should have stopped her, and you know, and everything." And he said, "Hey," he said, and even the head trainer said it was good for the show because it brought the crowd, you know, it got the crowd back, and now they're gonna, you know, like, you know, it brought some excitement. I mean, they have good shows, anyways. Their shows aren't bad. Their shows are always good, but it's gonna bring excitement for the show because now fans are gonna wonder what's gonna happen, you know, this month when they do their show. Get him to want to come back, you know, to see, well, what's Granny going to do?
At a store like this, I need a drink.
You know, next time, you know. But I wanted to share that story with you also.
That's amazing, Granny. That's really amazing. Oh, my goodness.
That isn't the first time I've been in a wrestling ring. I mean, super crazy at another wrestling show that I was at. He asked me to get in the ring with him, and he's talking to this one wrestler he wanted to face, and we were calling him Chicken, and we were standing in the middle of the ring flapping our arms like a chicken. We're calling Spike Lopez Chicken. So he says, "Granny and I got something to say to you, Spike Lopez." You know?
Oh,
he says, "Come on, Granny, get in the ring with me." You know, and I got in the ring with him. You know, so you know, and that
speaking,
promoter was
crazy,
okay with it. So
we got some more people jumping in the party. Let's see, 854 area code. I have no idea this is, but welcome to the room, 854. How you doing?
Yeah, Pop Shrove. It's
Malcolm. It's Malcolm.
Yeah,
welcome, Malcolm.
I want to clear. Yeah, it's nice to hear from you and Ray, and I think Kathy's there, right? Brady's not
okay,
there tonight.
Okay, Kathy's here. And Granny.
Yeah, I want to say hello to all of you. Oh, and Granny. Hi, Granny.
Hi, Malcolm.
I want to tell you, yeah, last week, Garrett McDonald said that Virgil was a slave to Ted DiBiase. That's a crock. Virgil was his bodyguard. It was Hercules Hernandez that was his slave. Bobby Heenan sold him. Craig DeJordan's interview.
Who said he was a slave?
He said he was a slave.
Oh.
You know, I was talking about what the daughter said last week about, you know, but,
Ray,
you know, I met Virgil four times.
I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, Papa Stroh, I met Virgil four times. And the first time I met him, Virgil gave me this, like, dog tags. And it's like those old flicker rings you used to get in the gumball machine. And you turn it, you could see an image of his picture. And there's, like, a nice, in small letters, there's
well,
like,
way
like a nice.
Right there.
Yeah. And he signed the box for me that it came in. And I met Virgil at Comic-Con in 2008 in July. And I met him at the Fremont. In Fremont, California, at the Holiday Inn. And every time I met Virgil, it was a real treat. I mean, Virgil worked with Roddy Piper. I was talking to him about that. He also worked with Hulk Hogan, who was Vincent in the NWL.
That's,
and I was
that's
so
true.
Like, you know, I can't, you know, Virgil's a good friend of mine. I mean, I'm not, you know, his best friend. I didn't go to school with him or anything, but he respects me for who I am. And
I'm surprised.
I have to say this, you know, I really like Virgil, you know. Like Adam told me that, and he's in the WCW, I don't know if you remember this, I never saw this Papa Stroh, but Scott Hall was had a drunk routine he was going through, and I think put him up to throwing up on Benson, you know, Virgil, you know, and I didn't even know that, but if Scott Hall did that to Vincent, you know, Virgil, it's not embarrassing to me because Virgil was a good wrestler. He was a million-dollar champion. He took the belt away from Ted DiBiase at SummerSlam. Was it SummerSlam night? Was it 90 or 91? 91. SummerSlam 91.
So, Malcolm, I got to ask, did you get a chance to watch AEW Double or Nothing over the weekend?
Yeah, I didn't see the whole thing, but I did see the stinger in Darby Allin, and I want to say, ow, the sting, because I've met Sting six or seven times. Sting
was really
the world of me. Yeah.
Sting was really good, man. It's great to see him in action.
I told Sting I was crazy about the crow costume, you know, in the 90s on Nitro, but I loved him with the spiked blonde hair and the scorpion on his tights, and I told him, you even had... I said, you had blonde hair, and your name was Steve Borden.
Kathy, did you and Ray hear about Sting? How good he looks in the Double or Nothing, the tag match with Darby Allin?
Yeah.
I saw pictures, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, Ray. You know, Ray, that's
great.
One name you didn't mention. You didn't mention the Big Show and all those guys. You didn't mention Sting. That's one guy you skipped. And he's like one of the best ever. And he's my best friend. I mean, I can go to school with him, but when Sting comes up to me and says, your personality in real life reminds me of Will Ferrell in the Elf movies. I mean, there's somebody that believes in
you. Oh, my God. Yeah. Elf.
Well, you know what? You know what we can do? I'll just have Brady fire me.
And Retro, on Thursday night, you're doing a tribute to Hulk Hogan. Is that true?
Yeah. Thank you for the plug, Malcolm. Yeah, I'll mention that later.
I'm going to be on that show, baby.
Yeah.
I'm sure you are.
And all the Hulkamaniacs.
Papa Show, I'm going to tell you something. Hulk Hogan has represents to him. The triumph, the standard vitamins, the believing in yourself, Hulkamania, the saying your parents, the
vitamins, where are we going?
You know,
Kathy,
believe in
where
yourself.
Going I have no
you
idea.
You know, and I got to tell you, you know, Papa Stroh, my definition of Hulkamania is every wrestler that had a male or female that had courage to lace up a pair of boots and get inside that squared circle, they're a Hulkamaniac to me for life, man. And that's my
Malcolm can do an A&E biography by himself, literally. Let him do his thing.
I just want to be myself, and all I want to do if I go into acting and I study acting. I want to do Shakespeare, man. I want to do something that Sir Laurence Olivier and like great actors did. I want to do something.
Sir Laurence Olivier,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, and you know, Papa Stroh, if I make it big someday, I want to do stuff with you. I think that would be a blast doing stuff with you.
Amazing.
I mean, maybe we can get Brady in there and Ray and everybody and do something crazy. You know, it's just, I don't care about. You know, people want to show me up doing Hulk Hogan or the old man out of garbage. I don't care about that anymore because, you know, yesterday was Memorial Day, and I unearthed the guy who served from Vietnam all the way back to the Revolutionary War. You know, that was
right.
But they paved the way for me as a soldier in 82, you know, and those guys went through hell and... You know, Papa Stroh, those are the guys I'm going to honor first for anybody yesterday. You know, I'll honor all the other veterans, but those guys first, you know. And, you know, you guys are wrestlers, right? Stroh, you're a wrestler. Velvet's a wrestler. Adam says he's a wrestler and a promoter. You know, and then you got the guys in the WWE, and you got the guys, you know, the legends or the current wrestlers.
And
you got the AWA. Or AEW, rather. You know, and you got all these guys from the past. They had the experience. They were in the gym. You know,
what's new inside of Kathy? Kathy, are you with us?
What was that, Stroh?
What's new and exciting your way? Anything exciting happening?
No.
Nothing.
Well, no. We did have a show Saturday and Sunday, and,
cool.
I got to see Colby Carino Saturday and Sunday.
Nice.
And,
oh, wow. How they
then
doing?
I got to see, he's doing great. And I got to see Too Cold Scorpio yesterday.
All right. I like, if you see him, Kathy, tell him I like Too Cold Scorpio with Marcus Alexander Bagwell in 93. Those guys were two of my favorite tag teams.
Well, that's great, man.
He's crazy as ever.
Is it? So he's doing. Scorpio's doing good.
Oh yeah, he'll be.
Cool.
Actually, in the end of July, it's the Legends of Hamburg, and they're having a lot of guys there. Nick Patrick's going to be there.
Nick,
Bob
Orton's
going to be there.
Oh, with Jimmy, yeah.
All the Samoans are going to be there. Trying to think who else. There's a list of a bunch of old ECW people are going to be there. And
nice.
It was sad, though, because Duke Cole, we were talking, and he said, you know, we were planning on, because I was planning on hanging out with Jack. I said, yeah, I know. And, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, Jack's not going to be there, but, you know, he'll be alive in everyone's memory. That's for sure.
Right. Right. God, that sounds like a heck of a show.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to have
that's
a convention
awesome.
And then a show that night.
Nice.
Is Lex Luger going to be there?
No, Lex isn't scheduled yet.
Well, if he is, would you say hello to him for me?
Mm-hmm. No.
Listeners that are listening in, if you're in the area, go check out the show from Cassie's talking about. It's pretty awesome. So if you're in the area, check it out for sure. That's really
the
cool.
The old
Cassie.
Hamburg Arena.
Hamburg Arena. Okay. Awesome.
The Hamburger Arena? That sounds awesome. I would
Hamburg,
love to go to
not
Hamburger.
Hamburg.
Yeah, I want to go there, right?
God, I would love to go to. God, I would love to go to a Hamburger Arena.
That'd be amazing.
Hamburg.
Hamburg.
Yeah. Yeah, Ray, you'd fit in good there. Ray Kroc used to be the owner of McDonald's. You'd fit in good.
Now, is he still alive?
Oh, goodness. That's great. Oh, man.
Papa Stroh, where is Brady tonight? Is he in a van or is he sick? Or
he died.
He died?
Yeah. This is the Brady.
Everybody else is dying. Gavin McLeod died on Sunday.
He'll be back this week.
Yeah, he'll be reincarnated. It's a Buddhist thing. But we don't know if he'll be reincarnated as a human or not. He might be. See, he might be reincarnated as Kathy's tapeworm. And
that would be fun. Having Brady turn evil.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Him. You'll be swinging next to Lily and Alexa.
Ooh.
Hey, Papa Stroh, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't watch wrestling for the dating game. I watch wrestling for competition, man. Let the other guys watch the women.
I thought the other night in Raw, I thought Shayna was going to stretch Lily out of the swing.
Oh,
I would have died. Oh, God. Oh my God, that's been tremendous. Even though all the scary makeup, Lexa looked really scared, swinging next to James that gave that look.
Hey, Patrick, she got over her
tough,
her pig.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, Malcolm.
Yeah, I know, but has she got over it? You know, if she's gotten over that?
I haven't talked to Alexa. I don't know if she's gotten over or not, you know.
Hopefully
she's doing okay with it. You know? I know that's pretty tough, losing a pet like that.
Yeah, but I lost my dog. I had him for 3.5 years, and it took me a long time it took me like 3 or 4 years to get over. He was a little toy fox terrier. His name was Bandit. About 10-plus pounds, 3.5 years I had him, raised him from a puppy,
nice.
And I lost him. It really hurt. So, you know, if Leslie Coffin's listening, I understand how you feel. So,
Hey, Granny, have you ever had a pet pig?
No, I've never had a pet pig, but I've had dogs before. But never have had a pet pig, though, so.
No, okay. I'm just curious. Talking about Alexa losing her pig.
Granny, just because
I read that.
You got farm animals, Tamara, which, you know.
But see, Malcolm, I'm not originally from Arkansas. I moved to Arkansas in 1988. No, I'm originally I'm from Kansas originally.
Oh, Kansas. Okay.
Yeah.
I know that. I thought you talked about the Chiefs. I thought you were from Missouri, Kansas City.
Well, no, I was about an hour from the Kansas City area, but no, I'm from Kansas originally. I moved to Arkansas with my family in 1988, and then I moved to Springdale, where I currently live now, in 1999. So.
Yeah, we're not really here, Malcolm. We're just a figment of your imagination. We're in a dream state, and you wake up, who are those guys?
I had
a dream. I was on a podcast called In the Room with Kathy and Ray and Joe and Granny.
And the problem child. You
never believe it. You never believe it. It was one heck of a dream.
Yeah, with Papa Stroh, you got to admit, I know how to stand up for myself at that Hall of Fame. Who was carrying the tables with two people, and who was pushing them over their head with one? Me and L.A. Tank Son were doing it with one hand, or two hands, rather. Everybody had two people carrying the tables. So I know I can back my – I can only talk, but I can back it up. So, yeah. So.
Wow. I didn't know you had to, like, stand up for yourself at the Hall of Fame thing. I had no idea. I was too busy getting sunburnt, like Richard Dreyfuss from Close Encounters of the Third Kind, with it being outdoors.
I just like talking to you guys because you're funny. I mean, me and Brady and Ray and everybody just make me laugh and some of the things you talk about. So, I mean, I just like listening to you guys. So.
So, Ray, what's new up your way? Anything exciting?
Oh, you know, just sitting here trying to do a wrestling show, you know, just hanging out, maxing out, chilling out, you know, the usual.
Yeah. At the rate this is going, I think I'm going to be reincarnated, too.
Ding, ding.
Well, thanks for tuning in, folks. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Stroh, hit that thing when you need it.
Yeah. 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 We don't need the laughing app. We got one already. You know?
This is just me.
You're good. You're good.
This is just me. This is what I would do. Because we tried talking wrestling, and that didn't work.
We were off the reservation.
here's what I think we do. I think we disconnect every caller and just play smooth jazz for the remaining hour and 15 minutes.
Smooth jazz. Get elevator music.
Just, yes, I think that's it. Music. I think that's
No, I'll be asleep.
That'd be exciting.
We will rock you as a champion by Queen in the background right now. You want me to?
Now we got DJs.
Oh no, Fred Sanford.
Yeah. Oh goodness. Brady's got all kinds of cool stuff in this theater, man. It's nuts. Pretty entertaining.
Did you ever meet Popster? Did you ever meet anybody from Zach Stanford? You know, because you're an actor. I was just wondering if you met anybody.
Oh, I met DeMont Wilson a while back. He was pretty nice.
DeMont Wilson,
I played DeMont, yeah.
Well, but that was, I met Nathaniel Taylor, that was Rollo Lawson, I met Howard Platt, that was Poppy, and Hal Smith, that was Smitty. And those are the three I met. But Nathaniel Taylor, I think, was the most interesting because he was Lamont's best friend, Rollo, the jailbird. I had a good conversation with him.
Tell you what, let's take a commercial break, and we'll come back, and we'll continue with the fun. So just stay with us. Okay? Here we go.
You're gonna play?
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you? You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Both shows take callers live during the show, and recent guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Danger Sandy Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter, at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com. Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
And we are back in the room. Oh, goodness. What a night so far, guys. Man, we've covered a lot already and then gone way out in left field on many other things. So, what an in the room tonight so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, What's your story going forward?
We have all these characters who call into the show, and we used to have a lot of characters in wrestling, and we just don't have them like we did in the 80s anymore. We're getting the higher percentage of wrestling now, which I guess is good. That's definitely a good development. But you don't have great characters. Who's your new Iron Sheik? Who's going to go out and get heat for you no matter where you are?
That's a very good question.
Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
I guess.
Come as close as anybody, Roman would.
I guess, but I mean, do you want to hear Roman talk?
No.
Isn't part of what makes Roman have heat the fact that he's got Paul Heyman with him to kind of do that?
Anybody who had Paul at any time had heat.
That's true.
Paul has heat.
Literally.
That's true.
When Paul was my boss, he had heat.
Yes.
I suppose that's true. So then is Paul Heyman this generation's Freddie Blassie?
I'd say in a way, but Paul is definitely different. More legit, but anyhow.
So how so?
Blassie would always come out, and he'd, you know, rip everybody. Paul just comes out and is like annoying. Yeah.
I think the ghost got Kathy.
Yeah. Now I would say it was a kitten, but they're all sleeping.
Thank you to the callers for calling in earlier. It was very entertaining. It was, yeah. The Granny and Malcolm.
Thanks for calling in. That was something. I still can't believe Granny never took me up on that offer to turn heel for a $100 donation to the charity of her choice.
She's tough, man. Oh, Granny.
Now, you would think, but no. But no. I mean, you don't have fun gimmick characters anymore. Everyone's the same, like, gritty, tough guy. Gonna make a name for myself character.
That's right. Everybody has to be tough now. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
like Adrian Adonis was not tough, and not in any way. But interesting, fun to watch. Yeah, we don't have that anymore.
For a guy his size, he could go. Adrian Adonis, he was amazing.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we still have, I mean, we still have like big guys that can really move. But, you don't have fun characters anymore. And when you do have fun characters, they get buried.
Yeah.
And that's part of what, I think this conversation was a couple weeks ago. When Brady and Matt were talking about how they didn't like how the New Day had just lost and they came out and were still acting fun and silly.
Mm.
And if you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, it's okay to make someone not just be like the super serious, brooding, you know, anti-hero type that they got used to with the Attitude Era. First off, the Attitude Era sucked. So just go ahead and just go ahead and accept that right now. No, like number two, and I guess I'll use football as an analogy. Clinton Portis was a hell of a running back. He was also a goofball,
mm-hmm.
and would dress and would dress up as different characters to give press conferences. If you'll remember those glory days.
Yeah.
That didn't make him any less of a running back on the field. Like it's okay for you to be a goofball and be good.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah,
it's okay.
If you can back it up, yeah, definitely.
Right.
Yeah, but like the point is,
Mick Foley
like,
talked about that. You know, having more characters in the business. You know what I mean?
Well, because it's something that they've lost, and it's something that drives interest. You know, the reality. I mean, yes, there are lots of talented guys in lots of these, in not just the Big Two promotions that we have, but you know, lots of little independent ones too that you know get guys to show up for them. But fundamentally, like look at these rosters. Without seeing them perform, what's the difference between three quarters of these guys on these rosters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just
they all
more diversity. You know, I mean, there should be more diversity in
just in general.
Yeah, so you see a lot of you see a lot of people doing the same thing over and over. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, okay.
And that's like even the AEW, as Brady likes to call them, the AEW Gang Wars, would be more interesting if. You know, they would be more interesting if, you know, there was, you know, a little bit more separating the two or separating the three or the four or however many are in. But, like, if you think about it, like, what's really the fundamental difference between these different gangs? They're all the same personality. It's we're young and we're hungry and we're going to be really aggressive. That's great. So are the other five groups of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I'm watching a remake of The Warriors sometimes with all these gangs.
A little bit, right?
Yeah.
A little bit. Like that would almost be more entertaining every once in a while. Just have them just do a complete reenactment of The Warrior.
Yeah.
At the show I was at yesterday, mm-hmm. there was these two really big guys. I mean, really big guys. One was Jeff Cannonball.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel bad because the other guy, I don't remember his name. But they were doing spots the whole night. The whole match.
Oh, wow.
Super, I mean, funny stuff. Like, one had to do the RVD kick and couldn't even get close to the guy's head. The other one throws the guy onto the ropes like he was going to do a 619. And my friend and I were sitting there laughing because there was no way this man could do a 619. He walks over, climbs through the rope, and yells, Boudica, 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 and kicks the guy in the head with one foot. Now,
oh man,
it was a good comedy thing. I mean, but
right.
guys could both wrestle, but obviously they couldn't do any high flying stuff.
Right.
You know, and
there's
then
a
they
place
got
for
into
that.
Serious stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got into the serious stuff of, you know, Colby did a hardcore match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it was Too Cold Wrestling. And. Against Don's. And it was, I mean, good stuff. Good wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know? But there was, like, in this company, which is called H2O, it's hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they read, the more they like it.
Yeah.
But last night, I mean, yesterday afternoon, it was a good there were some good wrestling matches. I mean, some were like, okay, that's ridiculous, but
mm-hmm.
they had some good ones. Now, Saturday night, they had a guy come out, and he comes out to Booker T's music.
Oh, wow.
And my friend and I look, and he comes out, and he sees skinny, he's this skinny kid with the dreadlocks,
mm-hmm.
with the luxury of Booker's, and he does the, you know, the thing on the, you know, he stands there with his hand, doing like the five time.
Mm-hmm.
I was cracking up laughing. So I just kind of took a picture, sent it to Booker, and said, this guy's coming out, imitating you. Well, Booker sends me a thing back. He goes, tell that boy he best live up to, if he's going to use my music, live up to my rap.
Yeah. Oh, so, wow.
I mean, and the kid was good. The kid was an excellent wrestler.
Oh, okay.
But obviously not Booker T.
Right.
I walked over to him after the show, and I said, excuse me, are you, he goes by the name Rocket. He says, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, okay, well, I have a message for you. And I showed him Booker T's text. He just stood there and looked at me and went, what? And I said, well, I sent the picture to my sister-in-law, and my brothers wanted me to just give you this message. And he just looked and was like, what? I said, you're a good worker. You need to get it away from this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. When you guys go to shows,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel when the guys come out in basketball shorts and sneakers to wrestle?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, Strong, I'm waiting for you to take this one
first. If they bought a ticket. If they bought a ticket.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to wrestle, look like a wrestler.
Right.
Like, even just trunks and boots. Or if you're going to just wear sneakers, wear kick pads.
Yeah, there's... The look matters, and there are certain looks that are okay, and there are certain ones that aren't. Something that's another one, because I'm with you on the basketball shorts. I think that's... I'm going to say the only guy that has really ever pulled that off is Eddie Kingston.
Exactly.
I'm going to say he's really the only one that's ever successfully pulled it off, and it's kind of inexplicable as to why he's able to pull that off. Like, for some reason, him and him alone, it doesn't bother me. And there's no rational reason behind it. Another one that started, and this started in, like, the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
You need to not be wearing what are clearly, like, denimish pants in the ring. The Hardy Boys are particularly guilty of this. You know what I'm talking about. Like, here's the thing. There was a time when I certainly at least looked athletic enough to get in the ring to do that. I clearly cannot anymore. Like, if you saw me at the show, you would say, well, he is either a spectator or a manager. He is certainly not going to be a competitor by any stretch of the imagination.
I got to tell you guys a story. I was in the back one time doing one of these shows, and I was in the back with like Les Thatcher, Tom Pritchard, Tully Blanchard, Ricky Steamboat. It was like the who's who, right? And we're all just talking, and this guy comes in the locker room, just totally rude to everybody. Didn't even say hello to any of us, right? And we saw his match, and then he comes to us after the match and said, what do you guys think, right? And I think it was Tully or Tom, one asked him, he says, how long have you been in the business? And he says, 11 years, I'm a veteran. And we said, you know what we think about your match? What? He said, we think you need to go out there, take a chair, sit with the rest of the folks, and enjoy the show. He just hung his head, walked away. Yeah.
11
years. Ooh. 11 years, yeah. But he was horrible. He wrestled like it was his first time in the ring, basically. That's how bad it was.
That's horrible.
11 years, but in those 11 years, it was very sporadic, if at best, if he ever was.
Here's what I think.
You know what I mean?
I think for 10 years and 11 months, what he did is pretend to be a wrestler, and then he lived his fantasy. That's going to be. I'm going to go with that. Because like, okay, here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. I have this belief, I'm pretty convinced that this belief is true. And if this belief is true, then certainly 11 years would be enough time to do this. I think if you gave me a year and unlimited money, so all I had to do was train and get better at something, I don't think there's much that I couldn't do. Like, I would suck ass if I just, like, tried to learn how to wrestle now while balancing everything else. It'd be terrible. It'd be an embarrassment to everyone.
I mean, 11 years, I at least learned how to lock up, for crying out loud. You know what I mean?
That's right. And that's what I'm getting at, is that, like right now, if I tried to learn how to wrestle, yeah, like, it would be – you would be embarrassed by proxy just from knowing me and then saying, I can't know this person. I have to forget that I am acquainted with him. But, like, if you gave me a year – to do nothing except, like, eat right and train and learn how to be a wrestler, I think I could probably get decent at it.
Yeah, you can't help but get better. It can't get any worse. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can get better.
You have 11, you know what I mean? You have 11 years.
Yeah.
You should know how to do a thing or two. But back to the lack of characters. You know, you see some of these guys in shows, and I would say this applies to promotions, like NWA promotions and larger, I would say probably fit this. You have guys come out, and all they are is a big guy in trunks, or a big guy with a beard, or, you know, they're a big guy with a hat. And... or they have a leather jacket, which is just the dumbest of props. Like, this isn't hard. You know, put a fun sailor hat and a long coat on them. There. Now you have a captain gimmick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That took me all of three seconds.
Yeah. Right?
That took me all of 3 seconds. Fine. You're somebody who's
which is another
thing we have way too much of. We have way too many people just jumping all over the place. Like, fine, you have somebody who's a high flyer. Dress them up in the old-timey pilot's helmet and goggles. Maybe have them get, like, the Red Baron's style mustache.
And be different from everybody else. You know, if everybody else is speaking, you whisper. And if everybody else is punching, you know, you kick. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, stand out.
Yeah, just be different. That you're allowed to be different.
Yes. Freedom.
Like, I get it. I get that, like, back in 1997, which, you know... was a long time ago. That's 23 years ago.
Oh, gosh. Seems like yesterday.
I know. I understand that back then, like a couple of guys made a lot of money and got a lot of fame off being, like, weird gang member brooders, but you're number one, not them. Number two, you are like a couple decades too late. And number three, why would you want to make your name off somebody else's ideas and talent?
Nah, I never understood that. Yeah, you know, why some
and
do that? I really don't.
Yeah, like, and this is the Jay Lethal thing used to bother me so much. It's just like you understand that this is just the absolute dumbest thing you could be doing, right? And just trot it on out there anyway. Just be you.
I'm really surprised Vince hasn't picked him up by now. Because, I mean, gosh, how long has he been in Ring of Honor? Like, gosh. Quite a long time.
I mean, I'm surprised that Vince hasn't picked him up, but also I'm kind of happy that Vince hasn't picked him up because, like, where does he fit in that roster?
Because, I mean, they've picked up a lot of Ring of Honor talent, you know, and I'm just kind of surprised they've overlooked him. Or he just didn't want to go there. You know, whichever reason may be with that.
That's probably a smart... If that's true, that's probably a smart move on his part. Because he would just get buried. He'd be
I mean, now he got AEW around, so who knows, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that seriously was a solid show that they put together. If you have not seen the whole thing, I would recommend checking it out. If for no other reason than it will remind you of what a program should look like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not every match was great. There were, frankly, some not particularly good ones. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, the action moved. You didn't have a whole bunch. Backstage stuff is supposed to be on, you know, weekly shows and the build-up to the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view is the event. Like, we shouldn't still be building at the pay-per-view.
Right. I enjoyed Brian Cage and Adam Page. They had a pretty good match.
They did.
Those two,
pretty good to watch.
And the title match actually surprised me, because I knew it was going to be somewhat decent, but it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be with Omega and Pac and Cassidy.
Yeah,
it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing Orange Cassidy at Little Ring of Honor shows. And Cody Vance from, is it the Dark Side, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing him at Monster Factory shows. And, you know, seeing them on AEW and see how their characters have evolved, it's, I'm very impressed with them. I mean, yeah, you got the veterans, Jericho, Omega, you know. But I'm very impressed. I mean, MJF?
You're right.
Yeah. I've seen him on the indie shows. And, you know, I've seen them from when they first started out, basically, to now. They become really good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I mean, not taking away from the veterans like Jericho or Meg and them, I think they should give the younger guys a bigger push. That's just my opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I
they got enough great talent there to do with that, too, with, like you said, with Cassidy and some of the guys in the Dark Order and Sammy Guevara. Mm-hmm. Yeah, MJF, like you mentioned. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, when they were, I mean, you're right, like back in, you know, back in January of 2020, you know, when they really weren't established yet, and they needed to get eyes, and they needed to make people credible. You know, it made sense to give some of these other guys a spotlight. But you're right. I mean, they 100% have enough talent to run on their own now. And frankly, every second that they don't do that is just time wasted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought Darby Allin made a fine TNT champ.
Yeah.
So did I. I thought that was a very, very good run.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it's a good guy for it.
So I'm interested to see who they're going to push to face Omega for the championship.
Well,
didn't Jungle Boy win that casino match that they had, the Battle Royale?
I actually don't remember.
And I guess the prize was to face the next one to face Omega. And if so, that'd be an interesting matchup with Omega and Jungle Boy.
You'd hate to see that, because I think the next one is going to have to be somebody that Omega beats pretty handily. And so I hate to see them waste Jungle Boy, who is popular and has some upside.
Yeah, he's really good.
I'd hate to see them waste pushing Jungle Boy up just to feed him to Omega. You know, if you're gonna push Jungle Boy up, you'd like to see that be at the very least a credible chance for a title change, which I just don't see right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it.
Yeah. Well, on the WWE end, I guess it's going to be Drew and Lashley for the WWE Championship at Hell in a Cell, which I was kind of hoping that Kofi would have got the nod, because I would love to see a Hell in a Cell environment with him and the champ Lashley, right? But, I mean, it is what it is. I'm sure Lashley and McIntyre would be solid. But, I mean, what do you guys think?
I think it'll be a solid match. I guess my fear is really no different than it was headed into WrestleMania, in that I feel like a one-on-one match between these two at this point is a lose-lose. Because either you put the belt on Drew and you take away all the momentum that Lashley has built up for himself, or Lashley's going to beat Drew, and at this point, you've got to knock him back down the card. Like, it feels like you've put yourself into a situation that you can't win.
I agree with you, Ray.
Right. And I think a lot depends on too who they're going to bring in for SummerSlam, which is almost right around the corner.
So I was thinking about that. I kind of wonder. I wonder if maybe they don't know what to do because they don't know what California is going to look like yet, since California has decided to drag behind the rest of the nation. I sort of wonder if maybe they're looking at it because maybe they might think SummerSlam is going to be a bust again.
Is California not opening up yet?
I mean, they have. So they have. It's something like June 15th or something like that is their target date. But the thing is, there's still going to be all kinds of different restrictions in place, and you know, there's Newsom's trying to get requirements for, vaccinations for people that attend indoor events, and it's a big to do. I mean, I guess I'm kind of looking at it thinking, if I'm booking a promotion that needs people in the seats the way a wrestling promotion does, and I'm seeing what's happening in California compared to everywhere else,
mm-hmm.
do I really want to put what is my second biggest show of the year? Do I really want to commit a lot to that with so much still up in the air?
Yeah.
Aren't they doing a show in Vegas coming up the same night as Pacquiao Wrestle Fight?
Well, Las Vegas is still
the right.
So that's
for the
fine.
Fight, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a bold move going up against that fight. Because I'm going to level with you. And as much as I like wrestling, I'm going to be watching the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, the same night, going against Pacquiao in Vegas. I mean, that's crazy.
It speaks to the, I don't want to say tone deaf because that implies, it's not technically the right term, but I guess it gets the point across. I think that really mm-hmm. goes to show the tone deafness that they have as far as like the value of their own product.
Yeah.
That or they think they have just a completely different market than what they have.
That's true.
Yeah. And just saying, because they've been pushing them, getting back out in the road quite a bit and hitting all these towns coming up.
Yes, and you would think they would want to be more creative with that. Like, you're going to be able to run shows in Vegas for like anytime you want. Why put it there now? You know?
Yeah.
What, as a show of strength against AEW, a promotion that's made some really nice strides, but realistically can collapse tomorrow if the Khan family decides they want out.
Speaking of cons, if the other con gets that Japan deal with WWE, that could be a game changer for everybody.
It definitely is a game changer for everybody. That is. I don't. What's New Japan's incentive?
Yeah. Because that could really make it tough for a lot of promotions that already have that connection.
That's just it. Like, if you're New Japan,
an exclusive deal, you know what I mean? For WWE.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, if you're New, there's no upside to that if you're New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The only upside to that is if New Japan just needs an infusion of cash and WWE is just like, they're like, screw it, we're just going to fire up the money machine and just print off enough until you say okay.
Right.
Because, like, New Japan doesn't need to create a market here. Their product isn't aimed at the United States.
I mean, can you imagine what it could do to, like, AEW or Ring of Honor or any of these promotions that deal with New Japan?
And that's got to be what WWE is looking at. From a New Japan angle, though, I guess I'm looking at it like this. Unless I desperately need an infusion of cash that only that you can give me,
mm-hmm.
there's so much downside to that move because, if that exclusive deal runs out in 3 years or 5 years, however many it goes, what if it runs out and I don't re-enter it? What promotion is going to want to do a talent exchange with me again?
Oh, man.
That's a hard sell.
Yes. It sure is. I can't even imagine.
That's a hard sell. I mean, Stro, if somebody comes to you, let's say you decide you're going to start, South Carolina Championship Wrestling, which I really hope is not a thing and that I didn't insult them. But let's say you start South Carolina Championship Wrestling, and you've got a talent exchange with New Japan. And mm-hmm. they come to you and they say, you can't have any of our talent anymore. We've got an exclusive deal with WWE. That it is what it is. Now, 3 years later, they come back to you. What's your answer?
Well, the second time around, you'll have to definitely take it with a grain of salt because you know what happened in the past. You know, it was just like you feel like you're on borrowed time, if you will, until they jump on the next big thing. So the second time around dealing with something like that, you kind of watch your P's and Q's and just know that if you do strike a deal, it'll be more of a temporary situation than more solidified as first promised. So
yeah, I mean you're right. Like you at the very least you're definitely going in more apprehensive, a little more cautious. I mean I don't quite possess your interpersonal skills. So, like my answer is, well, I'm not picking up the damn phone.
Well, some will do that.
I don't need this header.
I won't date with you anymore. Fool me once. Shame on you. Shame on me. Second time around.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't see the upside to that for New Japan. I mean, do you?
Mm-hmm. It's a for them to agree, it would definitely have to be something more for their favor. Because, I'm sure they're not going to agree on something unless they get something good, really good out of it. Because I know that's where the talks have fallen through with other promotions. Because they didn't feel like they were getting anything out of the deal with other promotions. Like, I heard the problems they had with Impact and other places because of the same thing.
Can you imagine being Impact and having the Stones to even call up New Japan?
I know they tried to work something out in the past, but something happened and it fell through for some reason, from what I heard.
That's a bold move. That is a bold move if you are AEW Impact to call up that legacy promotion that you don't have much to offer. Tell you what I admire. Shoot your shot, kid. Shoot your shot.
Like I said, I don't know the whole details of what went down, but I mean obviously things didn't work out.
Clearly, yeah. Clearly. Well, Stro, we've hit the 90-minute mark.
We sure did.
and I'd say we've had a pretty good show.
Yeah, it's been great.
I'd say we've had a pretty good show. What
like
do you have going on? Well, I don't have anything to plug. I was saying, what do you have going on this week?
Oh, okay. Thursday night, WWE Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on ZFNation.com. We'll be talking about the career of Hulk Hogan. So if you got any cool Hulk Hogan memories and moments you'd like to share, call in Thursday night. Should be a lot of fun. So WCW be Hulkamania, or Hollywood Hogan, as you like to be called, Thursday night. And Friday night, my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. The feature Friday night will be Uncle Was a Vampire, starring Christopher Lee. So please tune in.
Ooh, I never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's like a horror comedy, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
Interesting.
Uncle Was a Vampire?
Uncle was a vampire, yeah. And Christopher Lee's in it. If I'm not mistaken, Christopher Lee plays the vampire in it, too. So.
Oh, well, there couldn't be any other.
Oh, gee.
Right.
There could be. There could not be any other. Kathy, do
when
you
I was younger, he used to
terrify
me. When I was when he was Dracula, man, he used to scare the crap out of me when I was a young kid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Kathy. What you got, Kathy?
Well, Saturday we have ECWA up in Morganville. And then
what arena is that at?
It's called the Dugout.
All right, what time does it start?
It's a little it's like a baseball practice thing. Yeah, in one area, and then they have another area where we work. And then coming up is the ECWA female Super 8.
Nice.
That's going to be at the Monster Factory in Paulsboro. Very limited seating. And Brady and a very good wrestler is going to be doing the announcing.
Oh, cool.
Now, if I want tickets to these events, do I just go up to the gate, or is there a place I can pre-order them?
ECWA.com.
Ooh.
And, you know, the Morganville show, I'll be honest. I mean, ECWA has some very good, talented guys coming in. They have Ooh La La, who became the champion. You know, Ooh La La, but you know what? He can still go, you know? We were lucky enough when Ricky Morton couldn't make it because of the travel situation. We had Crowbar, who lives not that far away. Devin Storm, Crowbar, whatever you want to call him. He was able to fill in. Crowbar, I'm sure you know, remember, Stro, is also a physical therapist.
Yes.
When
great
he came
guy.
In,
great guy.
It was awesome because he was able to help me when a very good wrestler broke his ankle in three spots. and then the female ECWA show, as of now, they've announced Gabby Ortiz, who participated last year and actually was a runner-up. And I just saw the girl's name, and I feel really bad. She just performed on AEW, and she's the second participant. I really feel bad. Can't remember her name. But she'll be there. You know, and then we have a lot of other things coming up. Friday night down in Atlantic City, GCW.
Mm-hmm.
is going to be there. Granted,
right.
Hardcore stuff, I'm going down to see Leo Rush against Homicide, which I don't think they've ever worked together. So that's going to be
That'll actually be a good match.
Yeah.
Right.
Leo
is such a great guy.
That's awesome.
And, you know, it's great to see things opening up again. You know, conventions are coming back. The one in Hamburg, the Hamburg Arena, they've got, they're supposed to be announcing more names coming in. There's going to be the Icons of Wrestling in Philadelphia, I think, in September, when they do their show right after the convention in the afternoon, the show at night. And then in October, Legends of the Ring is going to be coming back up in North Jersey. I know the one name for the Icons right now is Kane.
Nice. Kane.
Kane will be there.
Wow.
And it's great to see things opening up around, especially in this area. I mean, we have been shut down, and everybody's got to get out. Everybody's got cabin fever. So it's good to see the shows opening up. I'll be honest with you. I mean, you don't have to tell me if you guys have gotten the vaccine or not. I have, because I work in the healthcare field. But around here, they have notices now, if you have had your vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask in certain stores. My major gripe with that is you can't ask them to show you their vaccination card because of HIPAA violation. I wear my mask at work 7 hours. I still feel surrounded outside. I mean, yesterday, some people wore masks, some people didn't. We went to eat before the show, some people wore masks, some people didn't. A lot of the, you know, at the ECW shows, we are requiring people to still wear masks. And at the ECWA shows, they have a certain organization. Sorry about that, my cat is meowing. they have a certain organization that comes with a lot of mentally challenged children. And they are all given free seats. And I know, sure, you work with a lot of challenged children.
Right.
They to see their faces when wrestling started back up again, it was great. It's
oh, I can imagine.
And a credible feeling. You sit there like, wow. You know. Then again, there's some people feel that the children shouldn't be around, but I myself feel they should. It's their outlet. They feel like they're normal, you know? And, you know,
that's what it's all about there, you know?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, look at Dominic Mysterio. I'm sure you know Dominic is high-functioning autistic.
Mm-hmm.
And look what he does in the ring.
It's amazing.
You know? Granted, he's been trained by the best, you know, B-Boy, Conan, you know, Daddy, you know.
But oh, yeah. That lineage.
Yeah, and you see the kids, you know, like, who was it? Lacey Evans.
Mm-hmm.
She broke character one night. It was on YouTube. She was walking down, and there was a young lady with her head, the headphones that block things out. And Lacey went over, gave her a kiss, and said something to her. And then right back into character.
That's awesome.
All of these kids just need a little, hey, how you doing? How you been? What's going on? How are you?
Right.
Sadly, some of the wrestlers, they don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you both know that does nothing but piss me off.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly why we do what we do. You know what I mean?
I always remember there was a young man in Philadelphia that was handicapped. And he always had this white dog with him as an aid dog. Every time Sherry came to town, over to John, talked to John, got down on the floor and played with the dog. Always made John feel special.
Yeah.
It just takes, and sure you can attest to this, it just takes 1 minute of your time.
Right.
And I tried to say this to some of the guys, and they look at me like, you've never been in the ring. Well, yes, I have been in the ring. I've been around this business a damn long time.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to get on my soapbox, but.
Preach.
You just need to do it. Not even, 5 minutes, okay, I understand. A minute.
Mm-hmm.
A minute of your time for the kids. You don't understand how that's going to make them feel later on down the road.
It's so true.
Okay, I'm off my soapbox.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, Kathy. That was amazing, Kathy. Thank you.
It was. It was. All right.
Anything
I
else?
We plugged everything.
Anything else? Oh, have we covered everything? Okay, great. Well, thank you, Ray. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, the callers that called in. Thank you to the listeners that listened in. Be sure to catch the archives of In the Room tonight on VOCNation.com. And I hope you guys have an awesome week. Be good to yourselves and each other. And we'll see you next Tuesday night with the return of Brady Hicks right in the room.
Night, guys. Have a good
you guys take care. Good night. Take care, guys.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.